What must you do to move forward when life is not what you wished it was? You're listening to part two of Dr. Rocky Ramsey's message on moving forward. What are we supposed to do when we lose someone we love or the life we wanted is taken from us? What can we learn from the lives of Daniel and Joseph?
Our reality is not as bad as it seems when we let go of the fantasy that we wished was. Because, see, a fantasy is not real. You can make somebody as nice as you want to make him, you know, whatever you want to make him to be, and then pretend it's all true. It's kind of like a long-distance relationship. When you're not with somebody, you can think all day about all the things you love about them. Some of those people, if you live with them for 20 minutes, all you can think of what you didn't like about them, right? But as long as it's a fantasy, you can just make it anything you want to be. Isn't that great that you can do that in your head? But you don't get to live there. You got to live in a reality. I've seen all kinds of people chasing fantasy give up a really good reality for a lesser reality and sometimes a bad reality. But they just knew that next person was going to do it for them, or that next thing was going to do it for them, that next job was going to be it. Even a good reality can't compete with a fantasy. Most of life is making the most of what we wished wasn't. There's just almost nothing that's exactly like you wished it was. And so you can give all your attention to how it's not what you wished it was, or you can give your attention to what is good about what it is. Our lives are full of good and bad, things we like, things we dislike. They're probably never all good, even though sometimes we feel like they are. And they're probably never all bad, even though sometimes we might feel like they are. The truth is, what's wrong in our life gets far more attention than what's right. We all have to do a lot of making the best of what we wished wasn't. Here are two great biblical examples of individuals who made the best of what they wished wasn't. They are people who lost the lives they wanted. Now they're going to have to live in the very lives they didn't want. They didn't sign up for them. If they had had any power to avoid them, they would have avoided them. But life grabbed them and threw them into a life they didn't want. Here's the first one. The first one is Daniel. Daniel lost the life he wanted. Daniel was a Jewish slave in Jerusalem. He was taken into captivity and made a slave. Well, he was free in Jerusalem, but he's taken into captivity, made a slave by the Babylonians. Rather than drowning in despair and giving up, Daniel made the best out of what he wished wasn't. He honored God. That's what you always ought to do. When your world falls apart, the first thing you ought to do is stop and write down on paper, this is who God wants me to be. This is who I will be at this season of my life. You go through a divorce, the first thing you do, here is how I will honor God as a single man or as a single woman. If you don't do that, you probably won't honor God as a single man or a single woman. I've just lost a child. Whatever the loss is, you decide, this is who I'm going to be. I'm not going to let my feeling in any moment dictate who I'm going to be. I'm going to let what I know, believe God wants me to be, and what I've determined to be, determine who I'm going to be. So God honored what Daniel did. Over time, Daniel essentially became second in the kingdom to not one, but two Babylonian kings. We could say he became like the vice president. The better picture is probably England, where you have a queen or a king. But the person who really runs everything is the prime minister, which they've had, four in the last few years? They're on a roll over there. But anyway, it's another story. So Daniel becomes the prime minister, essentially, of not one Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, who took him into slavery, but a second Babylonian king. So when Nebuchadnezzar dies, the next king leaves him in the same spot. Look at Daniel 6:3. Daniel distinguished himself, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Now, Babylon was eventually conquered by Persia. Daniel again is taken as a slave. Daniel again had determined in his heart who he would be, what he would do, what he would not do. He was going to move forward. He was going to make the best out of what he wished wasn't. And everything around him was what he wished wasn't. He did the best he could in the place where he never wanted to be. And you know what? God honored him. And the second kingdom of a non-Jewish nation, this Jewish slave, served well, rose again to the top, and became second in the kingdom to not one Persian king, but two. Unbelievable. One of the greatest stories in history. A slave being taken into captivity, rising to become the prime minister under two Babylonian non-Jewish emperors, kings. And then they get conquered by Persia. He's just a slave. And next thing you know, he rises to the same place. Look at Daniel 6:28. Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. What a story. How did it happen? He made the best out of what he wished wasn't. His life had become everything he never hoped it would be. But he didn't quit. He didn't get stuck. He decided he had to move forward. Now, as television infomercials say, but wait, there's more. The legendary Paul Harvey used to say, now for the rest of the story. Because of Daniel's influence in Persia, Jews were eventually able to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple, which is what the book of Ezra is about. And they were able to go back to, another group was able to go back and rebuild the wall, which is what Nehemiah was about. And guess who paid for it all? The kings of Persia. They're building a Jewish temple. They're rebuilding the city that Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed. You say, why on earth are they doing this? It's because somebody was where he wished he wasn't. Somebody was in the very place he never wanted to be. But wherever God put him, he did the best he could with what he had. He moved forward. And so Daniel influences four kings, not Jews, for the Lord. He definitely was where he didn't want to be. Daniel 1:8 tells us a part of his secret. It says there, he made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine with which he drank, which they drank. Daniel continued to do the right thing even when the circumstances were not of his choosing. He made the best out of a life that he wished wasn't. He did that when he lost the life he wanted. Turned out pretty good, didn't it? I mean, what a story. How would Jerusalem ever get built if Daniel hadn't been a slave? If Daniel's story hadn't, what the story he wanted, hadn't have been flushed down the proverbial toilet, and now he's having to live under four kings, four lives he didn't want to live, but he honors God and keeps moving forward in all of them, and now history changes because of it. Great, great story. Now there's another great story in the scripture, and that's about Joseph. Joseph lost the life he wanted. I've already mentioned him. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, sold as a slave. When he gets to Egypt, he's resold to a man named Potiphar. Joseph chose to move forward. He sought to make the best out of what he wished wasn't. He did the best he could where he was, which was somewhere he didn't want to be. He chose to do the right thing in the midst of unfair and horrible circumstances that were completely out of his control. So what happened? Well, Potiphar eventually trusted Joseph to run his household and even pay his bills. Look at Genesis 39, 2 and 3. The Lord was with Joseph. Hold it, stop. Joseph's a slave. What do you mean the Lord was with him? Joseph's not in Palestine with his family. He's in a nation of people. He didn't know their language. He's never seen them before. Never intended to go there. And the Lord was with him? Sure was. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. You didn't know you could succeed and be a slave, did you? Now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So we're told the Lord was with Joseph. Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph. Now remember, this is a Lord Potiphar doesn't even believe in. He's an Egyptian. He doesn't believe in the God of the Bible, but he believes Joseph does, and he sees God's hand on him. So God's with him. Potiphar sees it. I'm pretty sure that Joseph was convinced that God was not with him. Not that he was. He felt abandoned. He felt betrayed. Here I am. I'm just minding my own business. I'm a young kid. Next thing you know, my brothers want to kill me. Then they sell me as a slave, and I get down here, and here I am, a slave in a country I never wanted to go to. You think Joseph's situation is bad, and then it gets worse. Potiphar's wife was attracted to Joseph and tried to seduce him. Joseph refused her advances, so she joined the ancient Me Too movement and falsely accused him of trying to rape her. Okay? Now, everybody in the Me Too movement didn't falsely accuse somebody, but you understand the point. She claimed he tried to rape her. He wouldn't try to rape her. In fact, when he had a special coat, and when she tried to rape him, basically, he fled. And she kept his coat, but she didn't get his character. Now think about it. If there was any man who deserved one night of pleasure, one night of forgetting about everything, including God, one night of getting rid of the numbness of all that he'd been through. If anybody ever deserved that, wasn't it Joe? But Joe was like Daniel. A long time ago, he decided the kind of person he was going to be, and his circumstance would never change that. And so he left his coat, but he didn't give up his character. And by the way, he didn't leave because probably, I don't think he left just because he knew what Potiphar's wife was trying to do. I think he left because he knew what he wanted to do. If you hurt long enough, you get empty or hurt long enough and deeply enough, you will do something to get relief. You'll have an affair, you'll go to alcohol, you'll go to drugs, you may take your own life. You'll do something. If you hurt long enough and deeply enough and don't get something to fix it, do something appropriate to fix it and deal with it. But Joseph said, no, it doesn't matter what I want to do, it's not the kind of man I want to be. And so out he goes. So she accused him of trying to rape her. So he gets thrown into prison. Look at Genesis 39, 21. Tells us about his prison stay, which is several years more. 29, 31 to 30 to 23. The Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And the chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because why? The Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. So even in prison, the Lord was with Joseph. I don't think Joseph felt like he was with him. I think Joseph felt like he just got betrayed and abandoned again. He's just disappointed again. How could this happen? I did the right thing. When you do the right thing, something good's supposed to happen for you. I did the right thing, and now I'm thrown in jail. But wherever he ended up being, and it was every time, it was somewhere he wished he wasn't, he ended up being the kind of person God wanted him to be. He kept trying to move forward. Again, he felt betrayed, not just by Potiphar's wife, but now by Potiphar. Potiphar could have said, I don't believe his wife, and I don't think he did believe his wife, because if he did, he would just cut his head off. But instead, he threw him in jail. So here's Joseph, betrayed and abandoned by his brothers, betrayed and abandoned by Potiphar's wife, betrayed and abandoned by Potiphar. Now he's in a jail, betrayed and abandoned by God, surely. He could quit, or he could try to move forward, which is what he did. So he continued to do the right thing even when he had been done so wrong. And the head jailer noticed it. And before long, he's running the jail. One of the inmates is in charge. Over time, two of Pharaoh's servants were thrown into prison. Both had had dreams. Joseph interpreted those dreams and asked the cupbearer, who was going to survive, to tell Pharaoh about him and tell how he'd been wrongly accused and imprisoned. So the cupbearer goes back, he gets his life back, and he forgets about Joseph. Disappointed, betrayed, abandoned again. Are you kidding me? He forgot about him. But then eventually Pharaoh had some dreams and nobody could interpret them. And the cupbearer had a little mental moment and said, there's a guy in prison who interpreted my dream and the other guy's dreams, and they were true. So they bring Joseph out. He interprets the dreams. And look what happens next in Genesis 41 and 44. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Which, by the way, in all these cases with Daniel and with here in Egypt, these were the most powerful countries in the world. These were those small places. These were the world powers. Verse 44, though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one will raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. How did he get that job? by getting betrayed and feeling abandoned over and over again. By doing the right thing and getting punished for it over and over again. Like Daniel would be later, Joseph was given rule over Egypt under a non-Jewish king. As a result of his exaltation and new position, Joseph would save his family, the Jews, because they would have died in the worldwide drought had he not brought them to Egypt. And essentially, he helped to save you. Because had the Jews died, there would have been no Jesus. So when you get to Joseph, get to heaven, you need to find Joe and thank him. Perspective can really change how you see things. At this point in the story, we can clearly see that God was with Joseph. But the journey through the multiple betrayals and feeling abandoned that brought Joseph to this place of honor and eternal purpose, we could see it happening because we look back on it, but he didn't see it. He just saw another letdown, another time. God, where are you? I trust you. Is this how you treat your friends? No wonder you don't have me anymore. Joseph could have quit several times on God, on life, on himself, but he didn't. He moved forward. He made the best out of what he wished wasn't. And wow, what a story he left. As we look at the lives of Daniel and Joseph, we had the perspective of seeing the end of their stories, how things eventually turned out. They didn't have that luxury until they got to the end of the stories. They could only choose to be who God wanted them to be wherever they ended up being, which was in both cases never where they wanted to be. They could only choose to do right even though they were done wrong. If you remember the men in Babylon who were jealous of Daniel got the king to pass a law that ended up throwing Daniel in the lion's den. So God had to save him from that because they were trying to get him killed so he couldn't have that position. They could choose to do right when wrong. They could only make the best out of what they wished wasn't. And every time they did it having no idea how it turned out. Now that's a big point. If I could sit here and promise you, if you'll just keep doing the right thing, here's what you're going to get in the end. Well, I can tell you that for heaven, but not in this life. But maybe you'd do it if you say, okay, I know this is going to be a real hard season. In Joseph's, it was like around 20 years for him. Or actually, he was 13 from prison, selling as a slave to seeing the Pharaoh. But 13 years. Okay, will you throw 13 years of your life as a slave if you could be the prime minister of Egypt? Now, if you had a deal like that, you may go, I think I'll take it, you know. You might not, I don't think I would, but you might. You know, I think I'll take a deal like that. But here's the deal. He didn't have a deal like that. You've got to do the right thing not knowing yet, in heaven we know, but not knowing yet what we're going to get for it. You don't do the right thing because of what you get for it. You do the right thing because of who you become by it. Who you become by it. And so they did the right thing, having no idea how it would turn out. They had no idea their lives were going to become what they became. We don't have control over how things turn out. Romans 12:18 tells us, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now, the reason it says if possible, because it isn't always possible. You don't have control over what others will do. So you don't have control all the time over how things will turn out. You don't have control over what they will do, but you have complete control over what you will do. You don't have control over how things will turn out, but you have complete control over how you will turn out. And let me add this, God is far more interested in how you turn out than he is in how things turn out. People in life are going to kick you in the teeth or in the gut sometimes. Ecclesiastes tells us about the unfairness of life. Here's the big question. Listen closely. The big question is not, what are others going to do over which I have no control? The big question is, what am I going to do over which I have complete control? The big question is not what is life going to be like over which I have little control. The big question is what am I going to be like over which I have complete control. The big question is not, will life sometimes knock me down? Guarantee it will. The big question is, will I stay down or will I get up? The big question is not, will my life and relationship have setbacks? They all do. Every marriage in here, if you've been married long, both of you have wanted to walk at one time. Now, don't come up and tell me that you're the exception, because then I won't believe anything else you say, okay? So don't try that on me. There's been some times you've been hurt, you've been disappointed, and it's entered your mind. Hopefully it didn't stay there long, but it entered your mind. You know what? I think I'm getting out of this. I don't think I'm going to put up with this. I deserve better than this, whatever it might be. Big question is not, will my life relationship have setbacks? Big question is, will I give up, quit, or move forward when they do? Romans 8, 28, 29 tells us God uses bad things that we go through for good. He uses them to make us like himself. Deuteronomy 23, 5 tells us that the Lord our God turns our curses into blessings for us because he loves us. Genesis 50, 20 tells us that even when people do what they do on purpose to hurt us, God will use it to help us. And that's Joseph speaking, by the way, to his brothers. He didn't cut him any slack. He didn't live in denial. He knew they did exactly what they meant to do. They meant to get rid of him, and they meant to hurt their dad. They were sticking it to their dad because he treated Joseph differently from them. He didn't give me slack on that. He said, "What you did, you meant it for evil. But you know what? We have a God that even when somebody tries to hurt you and they mean it for evil, our God can turn it to good." Can somebody say hallelujah? Wow. If there's no other reason on the planet to serve God, there's a great one right there. What incredible promises. As we saw with Daniel and with Joseph, our God is always with us, even when life isn't what we wished it wasn't, what we wished it was. He's with us even when it seems like he isn't. God uses the things in our life that we wished weren't, not the things that are the way we wish we are, to accomplish his work in us, turning Daniel and Joseph into the kind of men they were, and his work through us, using them to affect God's kingdom worldwide. When life isn't what we wished it was, even when life seems to be everything we wished it wasn't, God is more than able to still bless us and use us if we're willing to trust him and keep moving forward. Now, let's be honest. Sometimes moving forward, we can sprint. We can just take off. Sometimes moving forward, all we got in us is a jog. Sometimes all we got in us is a walk. A few times, all I've had in me was a crawl. Maybe I can go down lower and have a drag in me. I just drug myself along. But I moved forward. Our meaning and greatest joy should not come from any person or thing that we can lose. If I lose that life, that person dies, I'm a goner. Our greatest joy and our purpose needs to be bigger than the people we live with. Imagine the pressure on a spouse if you're the primary person in their life and the person who's supposed to make them happy and give them meaning. I don't envy you. You're signed up for a job you can't pull off. So I'm to get my joy and meaning from the Lord. Bet you can't deliver that for me, and I'll get disappointed with her for doing what God never intended her to do, what she has no capability of doing. My heart longs for something more than her. This makes sense? So I've got to get my joy from then. If not, if the person I love dies, I'm through. I bury a child, I'm through. I lose my job, I'm through. I lose my money, I'm through. I lose my health, I'm through. But if I'm living, if I'm loving the Lord God with all my heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, if he's first in my life, if he's really my Lord, if he's what I live for and what I die for, all those things can knock me down, but not a one of those things can knock me out. When you live for lesser things, it doesn't take much to knock you out. How many of you have seen somebody got knocked out? They just got stuck and they've been stuck ever since. So you need to build your life around one you can never lose, Jesus. Listen to this, I'm through. The abundant life that Jesus came to give us here is not a life that is absent of problems. It's a life that is full of purpose and His presence. That's the abundant life.
You've just heard the second and final half of Dr. Rocky Ramsey's message on how to properly move forward. If there's someone you know that feels stuck, send them this sermon by downloading our podcast today. Again, thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Corrieton Cast, the official podcast of Corrieton Church. If you have any questions at all, visit us online at CorrietonChurch.com or drop us a message or comment on social media. We're at Corrieton Church. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we pray God's richest blessings on your life. Give us a rating, hit subscribe, and have a fantastic day. We'll be right back.